it's hot for the animals, too, over at the zoo, but there are some places where you can cool off at the zoo, including the classrooms, and I have education specialist Shannon Reedy in with me today from the Miller Park Zoo. Nice to have you here.
Hey, Susan.
I get to talk to Jay all the time, but I know there's a huge crew.
Then there's the rest of us. We hope he speaks well for us.
He does, but you know, he's here, there, and everywhere with Bloomington Parks and Rec, and you are working on the front lines.
That's right.
So instead of talking, you know, animal stories, per se, we're going to talk about some classes and opportunities for the kids this summer. Before we do that, I've always been very impressed with your junior zookeeper program.
Thank you.
And your junior zookeeper program is already booked up for the year, but I understand you're having a reunion.
We are, because it's our 45th anniversary.
Wow.
This program started in 1972, and that was before my time, but I've been here for the last couple decades, and that's been very exciting, and it's my baby. It's my big program at the zoo, and we are really excited about the fact that it's continued, and it's strong and stronger than ever. And so we want to just encourage anybody who's been a JZK in the past to come out. We have an open invitation. We'd love an RSVP. If anybody wants to get in touch with me and just let me know, they'll attend. They can bring a guest and just come visit the zoo. It's an open house sort of event, July 6th.
Okay.
And you can find information on our website about that. But it's going to be just, like I said, an after-hours event, open for folks to come in, have a light snack, and just see the zoo, see what we're doing right now, and hopefully catch up with some old friends.
Now, Shannon, when you do catch up, because I'm sure there's a lot of Facebook friends and social media folks you're checking in with, do you have junior zookeepers who have gone on to work in the zoo field?
We do. Not the number that most folks think. A lot of people really believe that when a student goes into JZKs and they come out, they're going to be in the profession, but most of them aren't. It's an ironic thing, but I think it's pretty cool. We have some who are keepers, full-time professional zookeepers. We have some who are veterinarians or in veterinary science in some way, research, that sort of thing. We have others that are in wildlife research in various ways. But then we've also got a lot of teachers, a lot of accountants and actuaries. We have choreographers. We have nurses. We have people in all walks of stay-at-home moms. We have people in all walks of life who have been through the program and who have learned some great basic life skills and how to manage themselves in a workplace, but also have fed an interest in animals and wildlife and conservation, and that they take with them forever. And I always love the fact that I've got a former JZK who's an accountant in an office somewhere and caring that they recycle. You know, I think that's a really cool way that this has spread
and
the tendrils.
And they'll never let a helium balloon up in the air because they won't. Hurts the sea turtles.
They know. And I think that's just a wonderful thing.
And yet, I think it's an awesome opportunity for people who maybe thought at a young age, boy, I want to be a zookeeper. And then they find out before 4 to 8 years of college that, it's not what I thought it was going to be. Yet the profession is very competitive. I have some friends that have gone through veterinary sciences thinking they were going to get into zoo situations and found out not as many jobs out there as they thought there was going to be because there was a lot of competition. True?
True. Very, very true, actually. For any position we have open, including an education position, we'll have upwards of 100 applications. And that's just here at Miller Park. Think about a larger zoo with more of a presence, you know, in the world. And really, it is a very competitive field. A lot of people think they want to do it, just like you said.
Sure.
A lot of people think they want to do it. They get in. Maybe it wasn't for them. But then a lot of people really do.
I was six, you know?
Yeah. And maybe with exposure, you might have ended up there. We would be sat on the airwaves. But it can be an avenue. But it is a competitive field. You know, I always say that there's not a zoo on every corner.
No.
So it's difficult. The jobs are few. The places are few, and you have to relocate to get to some of those jobs. And that's a big hurdle for a lot of folks.
But now even getting to the junior zookeeper program can be a little competitive. So when
it is a competitive program.
When that opportunity happens next year.
Yes.
You know, to work for free, be an awesome volunteer.
Right.
Make sure you're on that before the opportunity is done.
And since you said that, may I mention that
starting
January 1st, the first part of January, we always post our meeting dates on our website. So if anybody's out there listening going, oh, man, I don't want to miss it, please mark your calendar for this December 31st and then January 1st, you'll remember, to check the website. And we'll have the meeting dates. We have those meetings in early March. Don't miss them.
Now, just because you're not a junior zookeeper, that doesn't mean that you can't get into the zoo and learn great things. You have classes galore in the summertime. And I'm surprised we're talking about classes that aren't filled up yet. So tell me what you've got for Summer Days of Fun.
Thanks. Well, we have a ton of stuff, and it's really neat. We have so many that we just, you know, we want more players. We want folks to come out and play, and it is a great way to get some exposure. So what we have some classes for littles, animal crackers. We do those all year long, but we do them in the summertime, too, so don't miss those if you have a 3- to 5-year-old. We've also got a 6- to 7-year-old class called Zoo Kids, and that's something we also do periodically through the summer. And then we've got our summer camps, which run for a half a day for 1 week. So we've got 3 hours a day, 5 days in a row, and it's come every day and have tons of fun.
I would cry at the end of 3 hours. It would go by too quickly.
It does go by really fast. And we load up those days, man. It's really all about adventure. So we have a camp for 8- and 9-year-olds called Zoo Safari Camp. We have a camp for 10- to 12-year-olds called Animal Adventure Camp. They're similar style, just age differences.
Sure.
It's basically that knowledge base. We want to make sure we're teaching them. It is about education, but it's also about making sure we have games and themed snacks and having crafts. We always take something home, and then we meet animals, of course, and
sure.
every day's got a different topic. We have a theme for the week for each camp. This summer they kind of jibe together. We're doing some animals that are alike. We have animal groups that are happening with the younger kids, mammals, birds, reptiles, amphibians, those guys, and then we have more families in the animal adventure camp. So we're doing ungulates. Look that one up. But that's a fun one. We'll learn.
How do I spell
we
it?
Learn things. We learn things in camp.
How do I spell ungulate? And then I will look it up. UNG. Can you use it in a sentence? UNG.
Have you seen an ungulate today? Well, that's the best.
Okay. She's not giving me the answer.
Oh, it's those hoofed animals. We like those hoofed animals. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Really is. UNGL.
You're making me spell out loud. I do poorly at that.
Okay, well, tell you what. We need to take a short break. We'll come back with more from Shannon Reedy and the proper spelling of ungulate. I do have to ask about a new animal that you have at the zoo as an educator, how you handle as an educator when you get a brand new snake in the zoo, and whether or not that is something the kids really are excited about, or what do you do when you have adults that are terrified like myself? And Jay tells me that new snake is just the prettiest snake ever. But I'm trying to learn. So teach me, and we'll go over how you can join some of these camps after this on WJBC. I'm having a therapy session here with Shannon Reedy about my issue with snakes, education specialist at the Miller Park Zoo. But I'm at least open-minded to being educated like the kids are. That snakes are not evil, and I know you got a new snake at the Miller Park Zoo.
Yes.
That Jay Tetzloff keeps threatening to introduce me to, and I'm like, but when you do run into children, as we're talking about summer camps and educational opportunities, that have never been exposed to certain animals. Like, I know people that have incredible phobias for birds of
yes.
any kind.
Yes.
They won't come anywhere near a parrot. If it's pigeon size, maybe they're okay, but if you see anybody that's holding on to a cockatiel, they are running the other way. I had a Nandi Kamir for many years that wanted to crawl under the covers and sleep with me. So I've got no problems with birds. But when it comes to the snakes, in the large size, I have a Disney-infected phobia, and I blame them for giving me negative snake. But snakes are a great part of the ecosystem when they're in their proper amounts. Unlike Florida, that's got like way too many.
Right.
So how do you work with children, or in my case, adults that have a phobia, when you're going over certain segments of animals that someone is terrified of?
Well, it can be a challenge. But I call it therapy. It really is. It's really great because we have a controlled situation. We have any animal we bring in, and we do see phobias in all sorts of animals.
Sure.
Some people don't like the furries, and some people don't like the scalies, and it can change. But we do see the snake fear very, very often. But really, I feel like it's about baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to introduce the animal. We really do introduce the animals as individuals. They all have names, and I think that's a calming effect. You can get to know this individual. You might not like all snakes, but you're going to love Cecil because he's fantastic.
Sure.
And look at Cecil. And we really meet them. We scrutinize, we look at the pattern. We kind of take them, obviously metaphorically apart and just sort of look at the pieces that are interesting without saying that's just a snake. No, it's not. It's interesting scales. It's interesting pattern. It's look how he moves. It's wow, what's he doing with his tongue? And so by taking it apart, I find that there's a lot of success with that. And most of the kids who were completely shying away and not on board with it are by the end of class touching it. And they don't want to be necessarily right with it, you know, their bed under the covers, but they're definitely more on board with getting to know that animal and getting a little closer. So it can be a challenge, but it's pretty rewarding in that way. I love when it works. I have to say, kids are more open-minded than adults. So adults up there, you know, you want to kind of be open-minded. I do always appreciate the parents that come with the children, whether it be a field trip group or Animal Crackers class, and they have a phobia, but they don't want their kids to have it. And so they don't share that. Mm-hmm. They keep themselves quiet and still, and they might not touch, but they're making sure their kid does. I love that.
Is it hard to wrangle 5-year-olds when they all want to go pet the snow leopard? No, we're not going to go up and
Fences are a wonderful thing. Aren't they though?
But, you know, people hop fences or get a little too close. I mean, like, even if you're outside of Rojo, the Sumatran tiger, who's the most beautiful new addition to the zoo, he's pretty.
He's really pretty.
And you could get closer than you should if you're on your own. Is it hard, or do the kids pay attention? Because I had to kind of wrangle my dad the day we were in the zoo.
Okay, can I? Oh, I shouldn't say this out loud on the air, but I'm going to.
That's okay.
I teach my juniors and keepers this too. When we talk about customer service and they are in areas they're going to need to be correcting guests or maybe redirecting and supervising areas. And we learn tactics and techniques. And I always tell them they're going to use these more on middle-aged men than they ever will on a 3-year-old.
What is it about them? They want to knock on
the windows.
My
dad's the same way. They do. They like to pull horns and they like to. It's just it's a testosterone thing, and it's something we just know. We just deal with.
Thank you for the honesty.
But I am a little too frank sometimes. But that is really what I've seen over time. But the kids, you know, they really will. Sometimes they're a little rambunctious and they want to climb. But generally speaking, there's somebody there to show them that's not the proper way to do this.
Shannon, we talked briefly about the fact that you've got so many different opportunities for the kids and the parents to still sign up for these summer camps, half camps.
We do.
Where and how much does some of these camps cost if we're kind of price checking?
Oh, my goodness. I didn't bring my list.
Well, approximately.
Well, our summer camp for that 3 hours a day, five days a week, those run for members – I believe it's roughly $80 and about $10 more for non-members of the Zoo Society. For the whole week.
That's a deal.
All materials. Oh, yeah. It really is a good deal. 3 hours worth of, you know, get some gardening done while the kids are gone. And
3 hours of mom nap.
And mom time. Yeah, it's great. Or dad time, you know, whoever's got them. It's wonderful. Or the nanny can easily drop them off, pick them up. It's and play in the park with the younger siblings or older siblings. We have the splash park going on. The spray ground is always wonderful, especially today.
Free shower for your kids.
Yeah, so it's great. Oh, another class that we have, I just want to mention, we have another class coming up in August. And it's something we've been doing since last summer. It's in conjunction with Sugar Grove Nature Center. Mm-hmm. Their educator is actually an artist as well. And so Jill Wallace, she's been coming out to do programs, art programs at the zoo. We did one in June, highly successful. It's for 10 to 18-year-olds. We want something for the teens, the older kids who are looking for something else to do, maybe a little different. Mm-hmm. They're not into the animals so much, but they're into their art. So we do drawings, and we use live animals for models.
Oh, wow.
So it's really cool. It's a really neat kind of a new style class that we're doing. We're doing another one in August.
Well, Shannon Reedy, you're totally reading my mind here because you're covering all of the age groups. Have you ever thought about doing any type of adult education just for animal enthusiasts? Those of us who can't be junior zookeepers, we like to be patrons by becoming members of the zoo or coming to the fundraisers. But sometimes you want those opportunities to kind of go behind the scenes and these classes happen. Is there ever an opportunity for the adults?
Well, I have to tell you, for the past few years, we've been running classes for adults, adult education classes. Unfortunately, demand was very low.
Okay.
So we just kind of got to the point where we really weren't having a successful sign up for that. So we've had to put that on the back burner for now, but we're going to start something brand new in the fall, and I'm very excited about it.
Come back and tell us about it when you
can. Oh, I'd love to. It's going to be an active senior tour. We're going to do them once a month of a morning. We're going to have an hour with these folks and just kind of wander around and see what's new and have a focus, of course, and go visit some of those areas that we don't get to see, some of those animals that are interesting to meet.
Because that might be a demographic of people that could become extra volunteers.
Absolutely.
Because there are... At any given time, you're about 50% volunteer at the zoo, are you not?
Yeah, maybe a little more.
And
right
I don't
now,
think enough.
Yeah.
I don't think enough people realize that when they think, well, gee, how much support is there for the zoo? Well, you have full-time fundraisers raising a lot of money for things at the Miller Park Zoo, and then you also have that many people who are desperate to come work for free in the Junior Zookeeper program and other volunteers, and donations are coming in left and right for things like, the Randall Lineback needs more hay, I got some hay
exactly.
for you.
Yes.
Some good things going on.
Yes, for sure.
Well, Shannon, I'm glad you came in today. Not that,
thanks for having
not
me.
That we don't love Jay Tetzloff, but different perspective of what's happening in the Miller Park Zoo. So do come back and see us again. I do have a couple of moments. Any other future things that you wanted to point out before we run out of time?
Well, I just really would like to tell everybody that the zoo is a wonderful place to visit in the summertime. And one of those things, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine the other day who said, well, the kids are gone and they're grown and I don't.
So?
Exactly. I love to see folks come out to the zoo who are adults. Maybe they've gone to breakfast over at a local area restaurant.
Sure.
And then
Eric's right on the corner.
Right across
there.
The street.
Great
exactly. And so it's great to just be able to do the zoo at your pace. If you have an interest in seeing the zoo, being just a relaxing morning, come and take your time. And without the kids, you're not having to do what they want.
I know you're very open about letting people bring in like food and drink if
Absolutely.
You want to come have your lunch.
Yes.
I say, get a membership and then you could come every day because membership is like $60 for
yes.
the whole family.
Yes,
it's incredibly
it's very
inexpensive. But let's say, since you were talking about art programs before, let's say I want to do some watercolor at the zoo.
Yes.
Can I bring a small easel or a small chair in case I don't have the ability to grab, one of those cool benches that you've got there? Is that allowed?
That is allowed.
Okay.
Yes. Now, if you were having, maybe you have a group and you like to do that, then just give us a call. Let us know. We'll make a reservation for you. And that would be no problem at all. We love that. Photography, bring your camera. Bring the good one. Come take some really excellent pictures of animals. We have, it's a collection that's perfect for so many different avenues.
And
people's interests.
By the way, if you have not ever been on Instagram, I can give you one reason exclusively, which is to follow the Miller Park Zoo on Instagram. We're like, why don't I already have Facebook? I'm already on Twitter. It's like, get Instagram just for the animal videos occasionally that will happen with the trainers and with educators like Shannon and more that are showing you behind the scenes things. But anytime you're going to put up one of those snake videos, just let me know ahead of time. Okay? So I'll just kind of scroll through a little bit faster.